And make sure you're in fellowship as we hear or reviewing the doctrine of suffering. And suffering is basic experience regards to the believer as well as all humanity. But for the believer, obviously, suffering has farther reaching ramifications. When we share in the suffering of Jesus Christ, he himself suffered in regards to his own life, the first advent. And that's the section we're dealing with here, Roman numeral 3 in the sufferings of Christ, 13, page 2 of our notes. His friends during his crucifixion ordeal stood at a distance, for they were around him, that he had really no support of these. Psalm 38:11 is prophesied. My loved ones, my friends, stand aloof from my plague, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Compare Luke 23:49 for the fulfillment. And all his acquaintances and women who accompanied from Galilee were standing at a distance, seeing these things in context with regards to the crucifixion. 14, again, people shook their heads in derision at him, holding him in contempt, if you will, disrespect. Psalm 109:25. Also, I become a reproach to them. When they see me, they wag their head. Compare Matthew 27:39. Those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads. 15, his garments were removed and divided. Psalm 22:18. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Roman soldiers did this as common practice in regards to those who were executed, for dividing up their belongings. Compare John 19:23-24. The soldiers, therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garment and made four parts. A part of each soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. They said, therefore, to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it. Decide whose it will be. Also more valuable, staying intact in one piece. The scripture might be fulfilled, as this all occurred in fulfillment of prophecy, but divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. 16, he was scared or knocked at, like he's some sideshow. In this respect, Psalm 22:17. I can count on my bones. They look, they stare at me. Luke 23:35. And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, who saved others, let him save himself. This is the Christ of God, his chosen one. 17, his teaching was distorted and ridiculed. Psalm 56, 5 and 6. All right on, they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps. Constantly causing trouble, stirring up strife, things of this nature. Of their antagonism to the truth. Matthew 27:39-44. Says the truth, you can, God himself can declare the truth to negative volition and they'll take issue with it. It doesn't make any difference. Matthew 27:39-44. In regards to his teaching, as we noted, in regards to prophecy of his body, being torn down, the temple of his body, being taken out of context, claiming to be the literal temple. In 39, those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple, rebuild in 3 days, save yourself, you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. The same way, chief priests also, along with scribes and elders, were mocking and saying, he saved themselves, he saved others. Again, you know, his teaching of bringing salvation to man. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we shall believe in him. Right. He trusts in God. Let him deliver him now. He takes failure in him, for he said, I am the Son of God, the Son of God. The robbers who had been crucified were casting the same insult at him. He suffered thirst, for which gall and vinegar were offered him. Psalm 69:21. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And Matthew 27:34. They gave him wine to drink, mingled with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, nor his fish might be filled, he said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine, standing there, put his stones full of sour wine upon the bank of hyssop and brought it to his mouth. So he, Christ, is our supreme example of suffering. First Peter 2:21-23. For you've been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. The after sufferings that Jesus endured were a necessary part of his humanity's spiritual matriculation. Hebrews 2:10. For it was fitting for him, the Father, for whom are all things, through whom are all things, being in the sons of glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. And 5:8-9. The son though he was, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became to all those who made him the source of eternal salvation. Obviously, reference to his humanity. G, the extent and quantity of his sufferings render him a perfect comforter to those that are suffering. Again, Hebrews 2, verses 17 and 18. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come today to those who are tempted. And then 4:15 and 16. We read 15 earlier, verse 16. The result in regards to enduring, in regards to sufferings, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Roman numeral 4, suffering is a regular part of the Christian experience in the cosmos, living in the world. John 16:33, in the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. A, Jesus taught his disciples to expect it. The believers be put on notice that this is going to be part of the Christian experience of the enduring sufferings. John 15:18-21. If you were of the world, the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, make a volition. They will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Paul briefs new converts on the eventuality of it. Acts 14:22, I've written out for you. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, not a few, but many, we must enter the kingdom of God. See, there's both a variety and an abundance of common human problems for the believer in time, in our phase two. It comes in all different forms and ways. Psalm 34:19. Many of them are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of them all. Christ, no bones be broken. Verse 20, keeps all the bones, not one of them is broken. 2 Corinthians 1:5, the New Testament. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So, the sufferings, obviously, come in many ways. They would include, one, persecution for the truth. Our stand for the truth. You can meet, you can expect the same antagonism, animosity from negative listening around you in response that Jesus did. Mark 4:17. In regards to parable of sower and the soils, and the different types of volition. And part of the testing of that volition is enduring suffering, and what will one do in that regard? And there are those who will capitulate early on in their Christian lives because of sufferings, persecutions. And that's taught, verse 17 is the emphasis there. Verse 16 in some other way, these are the ones on whom see the sun in the rocky places. The field having areas where there were rocks that underlying right under the surface of the soil. Couldn't get them all out. And the seed falls there. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. That's faith in Christ for salvation. And Bible doctrine is a new experience and brings happiness to them. But the problem here is spiritually, they have no firm root in themselves. That looks at their volition and not really having any commitment in regards to Bible doctrine after the fact. They're only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, the excitement of being a believer, and there's Bible doctrine, people get on sound doctrine, oh man, this is cool. And go out and expect all the friends to embrace it just like they did. And, you know, they figure they get slapped in the face over it, and people ridicule and et cetera, take an issue. Immediately they fall away. You have those of that volitional type. No true strength of volition in regards to their phase two. So it's taught in regards to that parable. Also 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, those are people who are positive, will be persecuted. Which will factor, take you to the bank. So, two, another area of suffering obviously comes through health tests. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outer man, that's our body, is decaying, yet our inner man, human spirit, is being renewed day by day. In regards to maintaining our alignment to doctrine, staying in fellowship, pursuing doctrine. For momentary light affliction is producing for us the eternal way to glory far beyond all comparison. Where our suffering is viewed as momentary, temporary. And comparatively speaking to the SG3 that is designed to produce for us in our affirmation and application of doctrine in regards to our testing is light, comparatively speaking. And 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, these are people that eyes are not on the physical. They really believe doctrine when it says, Christ says, and you pursue the plan of God, and all these other things I'll pursue you with. So that's the spiritual realities. And that is the focus and aim and goal of a Christian life, is Bible doctrine. Truly, we live a life of faith. But the things which are not seen, so the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, the truth of Bible doctrine and all the eternal weight of glory that's associated with it, are eternal. Philippians 2:25-30. Paul states to the church of Philippi that I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. Because he's longing for you all, and he was distressed because he had heard that he was sick and undergoing some fairly severe health test. For indeed he was sick to the point of death. I guess that settled that. But God had mercy on him, not only on him only, but also on me, unless I had sorrow upon sorrow, the loss of a fellow poverty compatriot in the ministry brings much repay into people's lives, to their fellow believers' lives. Therefore, I send him all the more eagerly in order, and this church was obviously very concerned about it, and this should bring joy to their hearts to see their poverty brother well again, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. The compassion, concern that poverty believers have for one another, etc. Therefore, receive him in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard. Obviously, he's a communicator, doctor, and operating on behalf of Paul and company. Because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was sufficient in your service to me, in providing logistical support and things of this nature, go between helping out. And he underwent this situation and test in his normal course of applying doctrine in his life. And Paul is very appreciative of these applications, as well as the saints of that church should be too. So our health test, a couple of examples there. Three, part of suffering is the sorrow, or lupe, as it's called in the Greek, from negative volition. Those who, for whatever reason, have no interest in doctrine or refuse to line up with it. Luke 13:34-35. Jesus, in regards to his lament over the Jews, Israel, because of their negative volition. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones that are sent to her. Obviously, the city itself is not what did this. It's the people that reside in the city, so it's personified as the people, emphasizing that, you know, it really should have been something totally opposite, as Jerusalem is the capital and head of Israel. How often I wanted to gather your children together, Christ goes on, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. The desire that population has for those who are otherwise negative, have close association, relationships, things of this nature. But because of their negative volition, what a good it does, apart from the compassion and lupe and sorrow one has and feels on behalf of the other. 35, behold, your house is left to you desolate. I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. 19:41-44 of Luke. Again, the same scenario, and here 41 tells us that it brought tears to his eyes in contemplation in regards to negative relation. When he approached, he saw the city and wept over it, saying that he had known it, and this day even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes because of their negative volition. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a bank before you and surround you and hem you in on every side. Reading about the final dispersion of 70 AD under Roman rule, and will level you to the ground and your children within you, and will not leave in you one stone upon another because you do not recognize the time of your visitation. Romans 9:1-3. Paul, in regards to his lupe over his fellow countrymen, I am telling the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption of the sons and the glory and the covenants given in the law, temple services, and the promises. Obviously, he's using exaggerated language. He can't be separated from God. But he's trying to express at the highest level his compassion and the sorrow that he has in regards to those who are negative and ultimately are heading for a life of eternal damnation. So for often our suffering comes from verbal abuse. Sins are lit. 1 Peter 3:16, as Peter brought this, has already brought this out to a certain degree. And in 3:16, you keep a good conscience of the thing which you are slandered. Those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So suffering that was derived from people that want to verbally attack you, 4:4. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them, negative volition. And the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. Name calling, all the other things that goes with these things. Complaining about your person. Accusations of self-righteousness, you know, whatever else that might conjure up. 5, suffering that comes from temptations from within and without, brought about by your own STA, as well as temptation from without, James 4:1-3. James writing to these believers, that is the source of feuds and fights among you. It's not the source of pleasure that wage war in your members, the STA, indwelling STA, creating conflict between parties. You lust and do not have, so you commit mental attitude murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you feud and fight and feud. Do not have because you do not ask. Prayer life, usually people that run under the STA and brought on this area. Their prayer life, they're not even praying about these things. People concentrating on that may not at least get their eyes off somewhat in regards to others around them. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. It's STA driven motivation so that you may spend it on your pleasures, not that God's against us having things for our own pleasure. But it's primary rather than secondary in regards to one's Christian experience and pursuit of Bible doctrine in their lives. And they make it primary. Your will be done should be the premise in that regards, etc. So James 4:1-3, Hebrews 2:17-18. Which we read earlier. And we have Christ as our perfect example, endured in regards to his own temptations of solicitation, but without. 6, other avenues through which suffering may come as we are tested in our niche, includes a financial, obviously. Financial testing is nothing new in regards to believers. The Bible makes clear that believers generally don't come from the economically powerful elite of the world. They're exceptions to the rule rather than the common denominator, as we've seen in regards to Peter addressing domestic servants of his time, the institution of slavery. So financial testing, again, the great merchants of the world, manipulating our economy unconstitutionally, I might add, and bringing about these great financial catastrophes. Go on and on. One can suffer in regards to one's social life because Bible doctrine says we're not the hobnob in regards to negative volition. And people negative the Bible doctrine. and may put you in the singleness category if you're single. And four walls test in that regards, because you just can't go out and date every Tom, Dick, and Harry. I mean, you can. You got that freedom.
You can do what you want.
But stay in line with Bible doctrine and wait upon God bringing you your right opposite number in this respect. And that can bring emotional pressure and suffering upon people. Other aspects. Kind of puts you in the bind, because then all you can do generally is socialize with positive volition.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear it in your brain, some of you. Well, you ought to try it sometime. You might like it. I'd be facetious if you didn't know that. Obviously suffering in regard to job tests. No job tests. Job tests that maybe is less than one qualified for, or a test of humility or something of that nature. The adjusted believer, they're going to do what God's will is. You know, again, these things are secondary in regards to their thinking and the kind of work, etc. I understand always, it's always, you know, nothing, no job, how meager it may be in regards to the type of job it is, can halt you in regards to getting a prize. These things are non-issues, you know. B, bored of the four walls test. I touched on that already. E, application under our spiritual gift. A, takes time, effort in regards to apply towards others, and may have to endure your own suffering and sacrifice. You know, people talk about giving all the time. Who gives to the point that it hurts? But that's a sacrifice. You know, somebody's got $1 million and, you know, and gives away 20,000 of it. I mean, spit in the bucket for you, big deal. You know, they got $1 million and give you $1 million, and in the interest of the two too, you know, they're broke. You know, that's an application there. You know, I'm not saying anybody's got $1 million if they win $1 million. But they have, that's fine. You never know. You know, God can bring about blessing in life. Just as unexpectedly, he can bring about testing. The Christian way of life also has various blessings that parallel our common human problems. Blessings that go along with our testing. A common thing to say is, with the testing comes a blessing, vice versa. Mark 10, 28-31. So it's generally that mixture of these things. Part of the encouragement, comfort package that comes along with our testing. Mark 10, 28-31. Peter, speaking to Christ, behold, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one that has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms, business, for my sake and for the gospel's sake, that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and farms, along with persecutions. Along with persecutions. See, the blessing with the testing. In the age to come, eternal life. But then you are first, will be last, and last first. Based on one's attitude toward Bible doctrine and time, will determine their eternal prestige or lack of, obviously, otherwise. All right, we'll stop here and let everybody get in their proper places so we can serve the Lord's table. Thank you. Table, also known as the Eucharist, which means Thanksgiving, the time in which believers have assembled themselves together to take, to commemorate, and contemplate in regards to their so great salvation that provided in the person of Jesus Christ. It is one of two rituals ordained for believers living in the church age, the other being water baptism, as we know. The Lord's Table is to be done on a repetitive basis. Jesus Christ instituted this ritual on the night of his betrayal, before his crucifixion, and he commanded his disciples to keep on doing this in remembrance of him. The aspect that qualifies an individual to partake in this ritual is the fact that they are a believer. If you're not a believer, otherwise you're engaging in a ritual without reality. The ritual itself has two elements associated with it, the bread and the cup. Both of these things look at the person of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross with emphasis on his humanity. The eating and drinking of the elements pictures the individual's faith in his person as their object of faith, providing them with their so great salvation. And in addition to the fact that one is to be a believer, to partake in the ritual, we are amply warned by Paul in the book of Corinthians to also make sure that you're in fellowship when you partake of the elements, to rebound if necessary. Otherwise, you are making a mockery in regards to exactly why Jesus Christ went to the cross, and that is deal with the consequences of the SGA and all that it brings upon mankind in this respect. So, if you forego the warning, what you can expect is divine discipline in your body in this respect. It is our custom for all to retain the bread until all have been served. Again, with emphasis on his humanity. Two things that we recognize in regards to this particular bread. And first and foremost is the fact that it is unleavened. This pictures the fact that in his humanity, Jesus Christ was absolutely perfect and sinless. He came into this world without an STA, hence the reason for the supernatural birth of his mother as a virgin. And he then maintained perfect status quo in regards to his sinless nature throughout the entirety of his life in his humanity. And this is what qualified him then in regards to the fact that he possessed absolute righteousness in regards to his humanity to go to the cross to take on the judgment of the sins of the world. This is pictured in regards to the bread and the fact that it is broken. It is in his humanity, as we have just been through in Peter, that they became the target of the imputation of all of mankind's sins as they were imputed to his body, reckoned to him, and in 3 hours that he was on the cross in this respect, when the earth became dark, that God judged in his body for all the sins in regards to mankind in this respect. And on the same night that he was betrayed, he broke the bread. And having given thanks, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take, eat, in remembrance of me." Father, again, we thank you for the doctrine in our souls to appreciate and contemplate the person of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he has so freely and magnificently bestowed upon us. We ask you to continue to bless us, our thinkings, reflecting around the cup, in Jesus' name, amen. It's also the custom for everyone to retain the cup until all has been served. You hold pictures Jesus Christ working on the cross specifically with respect to undergoing spiritual death, whereas the bread emphasizes God's wrath placed upon his body that he experienced literally in judgment of sins. The cup represents the fact that Jesus Christ gave up his plus R, his human spirit, and fellowship with God was broken. And he underwent spiritual death, and therefore the consequences that are associated with it in regards to his person. As we know, Jesus Christ was on the cross for 6 hours. He was placed there at 9 in the morning and stayed there until 3 that afternoon. All the suffering that he underwent at 2 noon, when the earth did become dark, was simply suffering brought upon his humanity by man. But in 3 hours' time, in this regard, the token that is due God in regards to mankind and their fallen estate of a simple nature, a plus R, was freely given by Jesus Christ to God in payment for our sins, in addition to the judgment of sins in his body at this particular point in time. And through Bible doctrine, we can clearly appreciate and understand the efficacious work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It was this time that delivered mankind from their sins. The rest of it was simply suffering that was overt in addition to all of that. But only during those 3 hours when he yelled out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then claimed, it is finished. Was the efficacious nature of his work on the cross performed in regards to sins. And likewise, after he'd eaten, he took the cup, and having given thanks, said, this cup which is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. Drink from it, all of you. Father, again, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has provided for us in dealing with the sin nature in our own lives, able to possess spiritual life and eternal life so that we can experientially, for those who choose to do so, serve you in time and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all that he has provided for us in terms of our salvation. We ask you to continue to bless us in these things and understanding of your word and plan for our lives. Bring us back to the next Bible class, safe and sound. In Jesus' name, amen.
Closing hymn number 41, standing great.